seven feast of Judaism. Throw that one out. Try this one. Yay! Judaism, okay. And then Christianity. Okay, if you would go to Romans 15:4 first. Okay, the Lord gives us, there are two times in the Bible when the Bible gives a play-by-play account of Satan trying to deceive somebody. Okay, the one is in Old Testament, Genesis 3. The other is in the New Testament, Matthew 4, Luke 4. The first one is with the first Adam. And the second one's with the last Adam. So the devil is sprinkled throughout the Bible, but there's only two play-by-play accounts. So the first one, it's pretty simple. A person can be deceived by adding, subtracting, or changing a word or words of God. Okay, so that's back in Adam and Eve's day, it was just one sentence that they had to obey. And subtracted a word, added a word, changed a word. So that's where deception. Now, the second one is in Luke 4. Luke 4 is probably the best example. And that one is a failure to rightly divide. Okay, failure to rightly divide. That fixes almost 99% of all, let's say, religious deception. I'm not talking about car sales deception. Okay? So these are two different ideas. Now, we've all heard of Judeo-Christian, Judeo-Christian ethics, okay? That's American culture. That's the similarities between this and this. But there are unique differences, very important, vital differences. And so we'll work through that, if you would. Okay, this one is a religion. Okay, religion. That word and its derivative, religious, is found in Acts 13, Acts 26. Isn't that here? Acts 13 and 26. Galatians 1, 13 and 14, and then James. So this is found seven times in the Bible. Every one of them is this. Every one of them. Okay? This over here is faith. Okay, the very first time, the two words, the faith, is found in the Bible is Acts 3:16. Like John 3:16, Acts 3:16. This is the faith of Jesus Christ. With the condition of rightly dividing under Paul's writings. Okay, this is religion. This is a faith. Religion, okay, as all religions do around the world, the similarity between religions is that you have to do something good to get nirvana, utopia, blah, blah, blah. Okay, and that's true with this one as far as Judaism. It is not true with this one. This one, our founder did the good, and we trust in him. Okay, so religion. So there we got those differences. Now with religion, they have special holy days. Okay, we spell holiday, but if you would look in Colossians 2, it is spelled holy day. So religion has special holy days. Muslims do it, everything. With a Christian, every day's holy. Okay, Colossians 2. Oh, did I? I never read Romans 15. I didn't take my memory pills. Okay, Romans 15:4 says that for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, Okay, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So the things aforetime would have been the four gospels in the Old Testament. That's written for our learning, not our doctrine. Okay, not our doctrine. Remember, the Bible is given for two reasons, for doctrine and instruction. So most everybody, look at the Bible just from an instructional or devotional or spiritual viewpoint. We can take these religious holidays devotionally. The Jews back then had to take them doctrinally. Okay, so I forgot. Where did I send you? Colossians 2. Okay, now what's the special weekly holy day for this one? Okay, the Sabbath. Okay, so the Sabbath. Now, in the book of Acts, when the question came up about all those Jews, what do we tell these Gentiles to do? They had four things. Don't eat blood, drink blood, strangled, don't eat an animal strangled, fornication, and idolatry. Nothing else. No Sabbath. Why? Colossians 2, Paul said, Colossians 2:16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink, so that'd be a meat offering and a drink offering, or in respect of an holy day. See how it's spelled? We say holiday. Holy day, or of new moon, okay, or of Sabbath days. And then the sentence goes on, those things that we just read, which are a shadow of things to come, those will be reinstituted in the millennial time period. But he says, the body is of Christ. So that's a unique entity. So that's today, born again believer. So we got Sabbath. Now this thing of the Sabbath is a weekly thing. Okay, and in American culture, sometimes you hear people say the Lord's Sabbath, you know, a Sunday, but technically it's not. I was raised Dutch Reform, and we left the Dutch Reformed in 69, so I was 11 about that time. And we still brought into, my parents were part of starting a Bible church, non-denominational Bible church back in the 60s. Those were pretty good churches. They were dispensational. The new Bibles hadn't got in yet, and the contemporary music hadn't got in yet. So at that time, they were pretty good. And we kind of patterned the one in DeMott with the one here up on 41, which used to be a community Bible church, but now it's some circus. Okay, and so back then, okay, as far as these Bible churches go, we did bring in to the Bible church, you know, a holdover of some of our Dutch faith, okay, which is normal. I mean, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks, okay? And so we, as growing up, we never worked on Sunday. Did not do it. All those years farming, a crop would be out in the field, and we're not going to work on Sunday. That's what Dad held to. One time, we had the hogs ran out of feed, and we ran the feed grinder. One Sunday. All the rest did not work. Now, is that a good principle? Yeah, I believe it is. If you can. But when you're in a nursing home, you can't do that. Okay? And the mills, they can't shut down the mills. So, in the New Testament, we have a different order, different thing. Now, this idea of the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath, who was first told that? Okay? A lot of people assume that Adam knew it because we read in Genesis 2 about that seventh day. First person who discovered or God revealed that to was Moses. So you see that in Nehemiah 9:14. Okay? And then we discover what the Sabbath is. Nehemiah 9:14, that's the very first person discovered a Sabbath. So that means from Adam until Moses, 2,500 years, nobody knew anything about the Sabbath. Adam didn't have anything to rest from. Okay, so Nehemiah 9:14, and I'll try to slow down and get some of these verses. And what this study does for us, what this knowledge does for us, it helps us to rightly divide the word of truth. And in Christianity, we're going to use that word pretty loosely. Okay, generally speaking, Baptists, Presbyterians, and Dutchies believe in some type of eternal security. And Methodists, Lutherans, Catholics, Pentecostals, Charismatics, pretty much everybody else believes that you can get on born again. They have scripture. They have scripture. The problem with the Arminian scripture is their scripture is written to them. Old Testament. And the ones that are believing is written by Paul. And that's as simple as it is. But to convince them that is kind of tough because that's a real convenient way to hold people in bondage. If you don't do this, this, and this, you're going to hell. Okay, so Nehemiah 9:14, you can see in verse 13, Mount Sinai. Okay, so verse 13, so we see where we're at. And Mount Sinai is where God revealed Judaism to Moses. And amazingly, in Mount Sinai is where God revealed Paul about Christianity at Mount Sinai. Same place. He just went down there as a private tutor. Okay, and that's in Saudi Arabia. Now in verse 14 he says, "And madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them precepts and statutes and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant." Okay, so that's the first person. What is the Sabbath for? If you go back to Exodus 31... Now, for the new American culture, Americans, I don't know if it still happens, but liquor stores usually have to close on Sunday. Isn't that, I kind of find that strange. I don't think they do anymore, but it used to be a principle. Years ago, John R. Rice used to preach that you should not buy your groceries from a store that sells liquor. Now, back in the 60s and 50s, you could find them, but boy, if you look for that today, you'd be starving to death. Okay, so in Exodus 31, 12 to 18, okay, and this is where the Seventh-day Adventists do not obey the punishment of violating of the Sabbath, which is the death sentence. Their church would kind of get smaller. So Exodus 31, if you kind of just skim down through it, and verse 12, you got Lord spake unto Moses. And then verse 13, "Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations." That's Israel. That's not us. Verse 17, "It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever." So that's a sign. The Jews require a sign, Paul said. What do we seek after, Gentiles? Knowledge. This is why at the colleges they use Greek letters for their fraternities and so forth. Okay, so Nehemiah 9:14. Now, not only did they have weekly Sabbaths, they had annual ones. Okay, it'd be like our holidays we have, you know, federal holidays or whatnot. And so they had these, the Sabbath, and so work on some of these special days. Okay, so you have religion, faith, simplistically, Old Testament, New Testament. Okay, another word that's with these, this one, another word is covenant. Okay, what is a covenant? That's our word for contract. A covenant is agreement between two or more people. So you have the Adamic covenant with Adam, that's over with. No, the Edenic covenant, that's over with. The Adamic covenant, still in play. The Noahic one, still in play. Abrahamic, still in play. A second to that is Davidic, the David covenant, still in play. Okay, then there's a new one that's mentioned in Hebrews. So those are, and those kind of overlap. That's how we rightly divide Scripture. But there's an adjustment in the New Testament. What did Jesus introduce to the men at the Last Supper? He introduced this word, Testament. Matthew 26, first time that shows up. These are similar, as these are similar, but this is an agreement between two or more parties. This is instructions written by the testator. It's a will, our last will and testament. Upon their death, then that's in force. And at the death of Jesus Christ is when the New Testament came in force. That's knowledge we need to know, because in Matthew 27:50 is where Jesus died. That means everything before that is Judaism. Everything before that. Very important knowledge to know. And in the Bible, once you get these techniques, it's a perfect puzzle. Absolutely confusing if you don't get this. But it's a beautiful puzzle right there. So this testament, okay, then in Hebrews you'll see that this is renewed with not an individual. We have this as an individual, but it's going to be renewed with a nation. And that nation is Israel. Okay, so we got all those. There's another thing that comes in play. There's a lot of things that God hid for many years. And that is the new birth. The new birth began at the New Testament. Okay, if you want to look at Colossians 1 and Hebrews 1, the very first person born of God, the very first person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's not born again as we are, because without heir. And the New Bibles, the NIV, they all mess up John 3:16. The older generation, if you ask them to quote John 3:16, it'll be King James. I doubt you'll find an NIVer can quote John 3:16. And when they do, it's an error. Because it says, for God gave his one and only son. I'm a son. But I'm not the only begotten. And they take that out. In Colossians 1, it has Jesus to be the first begotten. With that in mind, no one in the Old Testament was born of God. No one was born again at all, because that wasn't even available to them. So Colossians 1:15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Mentioned again in 18, the firstborn from the dead. Hebrews 1 verse 5. Hebrews 1:5. A lot of times things are so easy that we overlook it. I don't know how many times growing up Dad would say, oh, go get that wrench in the barn. And of course it's never where it's supposed to be. And I had so much wrench in my mind growing up, I thought, you know, God saved such a wrench like me. You know, even for a while I thought that. So I run to the shop because he said run, and I ran. I sprinted. If Dad's sitting there holding up something, I'm going to run. So I ran and got, and I'm looking high, looking low, looking high, looking low, run back. I can't find it, Dad. He'd set it down, walk in a barn, right there on the bench. You ever do that? It's right there in front of us. We miss it like that. Okay, and so, but it says, what does it say, Hebrews? To the Hebrews. It doesn't say Jewish Christians. And just reading through that, that's quite obvious to be Hebrews. So in verse 5, but for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, Jesus Christ is the first person born of God. And David wrote that in Psalm 22, the great crucifixion psalm, the last two verses. A seed shall serve him. Okay, now proof of all this. Okay, if, you know, John R. Rice thought that dispensations was heresy. Okay, sorry, he was wrong on that. Okay, fine man, good man in many ways, but he was absolutely wrong on this. And he was absolutely wrong on the scriptures too. Okay, how do we prove that? Okay, here's the way you prove it. It's very simple. If you go to Leviticus 1, 4, and then Romans 5, 11. We're looking for the word atonement. And the English language is fascinating, where you can divide it this way. Atonement means at-one-ment. So in Leviticus 1:4, okay, now, some folks, the Pentecostals in particular, arrogantly say, well, I believe all the Bible. And I say, well, so do I. Well, no, you don't. I obey all the Bible. No, you don't. No, you don't. Well, yes, I do. No, you don't. Okay, and then I just start showing them places. And so a person, I would say, look at Leviticus 1:4, and it says this. Whoever this is addressed to, it's Israel. He says, and he, this individual, shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it, the burnt offering, shall be accepted, that's just like Ephesians 1:7, for him to make atonement for him. So the individual that did that at that moment was at one with God. Okay? Romans 4:5-11 is the only occurrence of atonement in the New Testament. Romans 5:11. So this one says, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Okay, so you just simply ask the person who is, you know, throwing out the idea of dispensation, all that stuff, ask them, okay, which one do you apply for yourself doctrinally? They're going to say this. And then just smile and say, thank you. You just proved to me that you believe in some sort of dispensations, a dispensing. Now, I believe both of them. This one is doctrine for me. This one is doctrine for that Jew back in Leviticus. Rightly divided word of truth. And our God in heaven is saying, I like that. He's happy with that kind of study. Okay, so with that in mind, there are several places we go to look at the seven feasts. And the reason why we look at them is because they're about Jesus Christ. And that ought to perk our interest. Anything about the Lord Jesus Christ ought to perk our interest. Says, well, it's not going to change the price of tea in China. Yeah, it won't change the price. I'll leave that holiday. Okay, so there are seven, amazingly seven, the God of sevens, seven feasts that the Jews had for holy days. Okay, they might be a day, but they might last more than a day. So seven of them. They were doctrine for Judaism, but for us, it's devotion. Okay, so the first one was Passover. Okay, if you would go to Exodus 12. Exodus 12, Leviticus 23, Numbers 28, 29, Deuteronomy 16 are four places that talk about these special days. Passover. Passover is always the first new moon in the spring. Now, I can't really figure out the Jewish calendar because it's running all that stuff. It's kind of confusing. And the other calendars aren't much better. Greco-Roman, Islamic calendar. There's about 12 different ones we can choose from. But in Exodus 12 is when the Jews, and if you've read through the Bible enough, you know that this is when the Lord, you ever hear the saying, paint the town red? Paint the town red usually means, you know, just hell it up and all that stuff. And boy, did the Lord that night. Exodus 12. So because this is when they exit out of the Southern Baptist Convention or whatever, okay, the Lord said this is going to be your starter. So our starter individually is your new birth. In a way, it is. But the Lord still takes those experiences from the past to help us in the future. So Exodus 12. Okay, so the Lord spake to Moses, Aaron, land of Egypt. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. Now that makes perfect sense. The beginning of our year is in the dead of winter. It looks dead. Okay, but to begin your year in the spring, everything is resurrecting. That makes perfect sense. And so you got there, it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Okay, so that when Mary, not Mary Magdalene, when Mary, the sister of Martha, anointed the Lord's feet, she did that on the 10th day of the first month. Did she know this? I'm thinking she probably did. I think she did. The ladies that came after the fact to anoint the body after he's dead did the right thing at the wrong time, but Mary did the right thing at the right time. And because of that, remember, she was the one that was, the Lord scolded Martha because she was too busy working, and he said, Martha, Martha, Mary has chosen that good part, and what she's done shall not be taken away from her. And her sacrifice to the Lord was recorded three times. And not only that, it says that when this gospel is preached, what she did shall be called for a memorial. Now, that would just that idea. The Bible's got so much in there. You meditate. This what gospel? Matthew 26, what gospel? Now, we know the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. That's for salvation. But what's that one in Matthew 26? I've sat through soul-winning classes, and I've never heard anybody say, well, you got to mention that memorial about Mary. Unless it's a different gospel, and unless they are suddenly admitting it's a different gospel. But when you tell them there's more than one gospel, they say, you're hair-picked. But they don't do that. Okay, so Mary did the right thing at the right time on the 10th day on that Sabbath. It was the Sabbath in Bethany. And so that, and then on Sunday, Passover, not Sunday, on Palm Sunday, which that's our point of agreement. Everybody agrees on Palm Sunday. That completed Daniel 69 weeks. Okay, so that's all. That's how they knew that. They knew it by the calendar, plus by the resurrection of Lazarus. So that completed a 69 weeks. Then on Monday, he cursed a fig tree. Tuesday, fig tree is evident to be cursed. Wednesday's Passover. Okay, and that was the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. The Passover here only temporarily covered their sins. So in chapter 12, verse 3, notice the wording. It says, choose a lamb. And then the next verse says, and if the household be too little for the lamb. It goes from a lamb to the lamb. Let him and his neighbor next in his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to the eating shall make your count for the lamb. So both of the verses, a lamb, the lamb, the lamb. And then it says five, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. So a lamb is we need a savior. the Lamb is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, but he must be your Lamb. Must be. Bible is fascinating. Okay, so we got the Passover. Now, for us, that would be probably the most precise term would be justification. Okay, we often use salvation, but salvation is an all-encompassing word of justification, sanctification, glorification. So this would be, now, the blood of the Lamb saved them from getting the that night. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So we look at this as devotional. Praise the Lord. They had a lamb, but we have the Lamb. Okay, so we get excited about that. Now, what comes after this? Okay, Exodus. Let's try Leviticus 23 so we can see the exact wording. Leviticus, you can see the first four letters. Levi, so this is like the handbook of the Jewish priest. Wouldn't be surprised if they'd had it memorized. But boy, if they memorized chapter 13 and 14 and all that leprosy stuff, whew, keep all that stuff straight. I can imagine them in Levitical class and they're going through 13 and 14 and they're half were sleeping and they're, you know, all this stuff. The leprosy, you got a scab, you got a spot, and it turned white, and that white, and this white, and the scab, and that white, you know. Okay, 23, you have the annual, the weekly Sabbath, and then verse 4, these are the feast of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in your season. In the 14th day of the first month, at even, is the Lord's Passover. Okay, so we got that one covered. What comes after that? The 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So unleavened, precise wording. Unleavened, okay, bread. Where'd it go? There it is. Unleavened bread. Okay, what can we do with that bread? Bread, you read. Okay, so bread. What is it we do with that bread? In John 6, Jesus called himself the manna. Okay, the bread of life. But he also said, man should not live by... So what is this? What does a person need on their first steps after salvation? They need a Bible. They need a Bible. Not any Bible. They need a Bible. They need an unleavened Bible. That's what they need. And if they don't get this unleavened Bible, then there's going to be a lot of confusion. Okay, I suppose an unleavened Bible is better than no Bible. But if I had a choice to drink, pure rainwater versus toilet water, I'm going to take the rainwater. Now, if I'm dying of thirst, okay. But when you drink that, then you got to be careful of the germs. And that's what the problem with the new Bibles. Okay, so we'll work on this idea here, okay? Remember what Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And then they thought, oh, okay, that's probably that white bread. You know, you can still get that whole wheat bread. And because they thought it was physical food. And the Lord's, and then it says, Matthew 16, 6, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And then 6:12 says, beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees. So leaven is false doctrine. In Matthew 13, verse 33, there are seven parables to the kingdom of heaven. This is after the Jews rejected their Messiah in Matthew 12. Everything goes into a mystery. One of the mysteries is a woman who puts leaven in a meal until the whole is leavened. That's a picture of a woman. The true church is a virgin. A woman is a strange church, a false church. So somebody mixed, intermingled false doctrine in the Bible. Historically, the first dude to do that was a guy named Origen. But if you listen to Moody Bible, they all think Origen was a great man. Okay, and he's the first guy, and that's where all the new Bibles, see, they took those tainted manuscripts from Egypt, and then they traveled up to Rome, and then that became all the new Bibles. And so that would be leavened bread. But the Lord has an unleavened Bible. Okay, now it's interesting, there's a parallel in Leviticus. In Leviticus 1 through 7, there are five individual sacrifices. Okay, these are national, okay, for the whole nation. In Leviticus 1, you have a burnt offering, that's akin to this. In Leviticus 2, a meat offering, that's akin to this. Leviticus 3 is a peace offering, that'd be inner peace or sanctification by peace. And then Leviticus 4 is a sin offering, and Leviticus 5 is a trespass offering. And the difference is, a sin offering is like a sin that you commit within your heart, pride, envy, jealousy, hatred, or maybe you've kept it in, your inner thoughts, lust inside, you kept it in, that's sin. But if this manifests itself and harms somebody else, that's trespass. You trespass on somebody else. Okay, there was a time, I don't hear much of it anymore. There was a time where some churches thought, oh, you got to confess your sins to everybody. So people were getting up and saying, you know, I'm going to apologize to you, brother. I've hated your guts for the last 5 years. Okay, if you did, keep it to yourself. If you ran your mouth about it, then you got a trespass offering. But, I mean, that's just such nonsense. Okay, I heard one guy, they were in just one of these churches down in Rensselaer, and somebody was praying for healing. So it says in our Bible, confess your faults. And the new Bible says, confess your sins. So before these guys prayed to pray of healing, there's one guy, he's sitting there, and this guy's saying this, and he's like, man, I don't know if I want to be around these guys. And of course, the guy didn't get healed. You know, just crazy. Okay, so unleavened bread. Doesn't the gospel presentation, what does it say about the gospel in 1 Corinthians? Twice it says, according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures. You know, when people usually talk to me, they say, oh, you're King James. And you always say the same. And yeah, a little bit. And then they say, well, you think they don't get saved by King James? Oh, no, I don't believe that. Even the new Bibles are a lot King James. But I was witness to a lady down in Monon. And at that time, when I'd go door to door, I usually didn't carry a Bible. I'd have some tracts, but I usually didn't carry a Bible or a New Testament because I would ask the party if they had one. Back in those days, people would actually talk to you. They don't do that anymore. Now, the best thing you can do is stand on a street corner with a sign. I mean, that gets in. Okay, so this lady, I was going to go through the gospel presentation. She just had an NIV, so that got that sinner thing. That worked over the head in there. And then when I was getting to draw the net, I got to Romans 10:9, and it says, and I looked at it, and this first time I saw it, NIV, ooh. So I just subtly closed it, and I said, the Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart God's raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Because her Bible said, the NIV says, whoever confesses Jesus is Lord, Satan is going to confess that at the white throne judgment and go to be thrown into hell. That's a satanic confession. Taking the definitive article, the Lord Jesus. You know, you see these, Jesus is Lord. Okay, the motive might be insincere, but it should say Jesus is the Lord. Better yet, Jesus Christ is the Lord. Okay, so we have these two. Passover. Now this one, unleavened bread, was a 7-day feast. Okay, so Passover, 15th day of the month, it ran to the 21st day in Leviticus 23, verse 6, 15th day, verse 7, first day is holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work. Now, the servile, I think, is key. You can see it's akin to servant, so I think that's when they just closed the stores down. Doesn't mean that they couldn't, you know, hoe the garden or something like that. Now, that lasted 7 days, and the first day, the 15th, and the 21st were annual Sabbaths. Those were annual. So on that week, you had Passover Wednesday, annual Sabbath Thursday, weekly Sabbath Saturday. Come back around Wednesday, annual Sabbath, the Saturday weekly Sabbath. So in 9-10 days, you had 4 Sabbaths. And this is where people mess up the idea about Good Friday. Now, sometimes you may not know what's right, but anybody who can count to 3 knows he couldn't have been crucified on Friday. I mean, you can figure that out. So you may not know what's right, but you know that's wrong, so let's figure out what's right. And they say the Sabbath followed on, the Sabbath was after the crucifixion. They assume it's the weekly Sabbath rather than an annual. In John 9:21, the Bible cuts all the loopholes away. John 19, I don't know if I said 19. John 19:31. And we'll just keep this up for, how dare I, went 3 minutes over. John 19:31. The Jews therefore, because it was a preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. Okay, assumption, weekly, parentheses. Look at the parentheses. Should be a cross-reference to Exodus 12:16. For that Sabbath day was an high day. That's an annual one. See how easy that is? Just a simple read. I think that's why the Lord's favorite saying was, have you not read? You kind of say to those chief priests, haven't you read this? Okay, so that was an annual Sabbath. That would have been this one, the 15th day. And so that's, and then Friday. Some feel Friday was a different type of Sabbath. I don't think so. And then Saturday was the weekly Sabbath. And then you get 3 days and 3 nights, okay, as far as the Lord goes. Okay, so we got these two. So we got salvation, justification, and we need a pure Bible. 1 Peter 2, verse 2, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk. That's as far as the NIV goes. Holy cow. Maybe it's A2 milk. Sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. That's what the King James Bible says. And some of them say that you may grow up to salvation. The RSV says that. Work salvation. So, okay, so again, this is so important for us. There are similarities between these two, but there are distinct differences. And when we understand the differences, we get a blessing out of this because this is devotional for us. But for the Jews, this was doctrine. Their soul depended on this. And so, thank God for that. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do thank you for your words. I thank you that, Lord, help us to be good students of your word. Help us to be faithful to them. And I pray that you'd help us to be a blessing to you to take your word very seriously. In Jesus' name, amen.